Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Geico presents... Yikes! Another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit Geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to ReviewADay.ca. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. And well, the last time on Rad, we took a look at Ubisoft's Far Cry Primal. Definitely a game I enjoyed a lot more than I thought I would. Because, hey, being a caveman's kind of awesome. So, in this edition of Rad, we're going from the Stone Age to the Digital Age. We're going to be looking at Remedy Entertainment's big exclusive for the Xbox One and Windows 10. We are looking at Quantum Break. This is a game I've had for a couple of weeks. I've had a chance to go through it 2.5 times right now. And I'll give you the benefit of my experience with it and kind of give you some pro tips along the way. This is a game that I've seen at a couple of different press briefings, over the last little bit. Like I said, this game was announced back in 2013. It was supposed to launch in 2014, but it got pushed back, and you can definitely, I wouldn't say they left a lot on.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets.
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue! Hooray!
Believe it, Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The cutting room floor, but I kind of wonder what got left out, having played through the game 2.5 times. I very much get the feeling like this is supposed to be Microsoft's version of Infamous, like sort of like this is like a franchise starter, kind of like how Alan Wake and Max Payne were, and done by the same guys, Remedy. So, the first time I got a chance to see this game hands on was we have this event in Canada called the X Event, and it's put on by Microsoft. It's basically like discount E3, if it was like really, really, really ghetto. And that's not a slam against the event. That's basically they ran out of space. Developers show off a lot of the E3 builds or maybe some of the Gamescom builds. Like, you'll see, like, this thing typically takes place in August or September, and they show you what's coming out for, like, holiday or what's expected to come out in the next couple of months to the next year. So, one of the briefings me and Jamie got invited to was for Quantum Break. And they explained it as... time is broken, and you play the character Jack Joyce, and he's trying to figure out what's wrong with his buddy Paul Serene. And believe me, those are two names that are going to drive you right up the friggin' wall. But I'll explain that a little bit later. And then there's this element where it's a show within a game, and what happens in the game affects the show. And it's kind of misleading in that regard. Not totally, but I think they kind of oversell it, and I think that's kind of a strike against the game, but I'll explain that a little bit later. But because this is a game about time travel, your decisions matter. Sort of like, do I go left? Do I go right? Is there the quantum ripple effect sort of thing? Like, basically, you've heard the idea of the butterfly effect. If a butterfly flaps its wings in New York, you'll get rain in Beijing sort of thing. Sort of like chaos theory. If you like Jurassic Park, that sort of thing. So I went to this press briefing, and the guy really didn't explain it too well. I was like, so what the hell is this? Is this a game? Is it a show? Just, what the frig is it? So having gone through this game 2.5 times, I can now explain to you what this is. Like I said, this feels a lot like Microsoft's attempt, at Infamous, sort of a new IP, which does set itself up for a sequel at the end of the game, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. So let's get into the gameplay slash storyline of Quantum Break. So you play the character of Jack Joyce, being portrayed by Sean Ashmore, who you will recognize as Iceman from the X-Men movies. He's going to visit the fictional town of Riverport, where his buddy Paul Serene, played by Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, has created this big time travel experiment thing. And he needs your help convincing your brother, played by Dominic Monaghan, who is one of the hobbits from Lord of the Rings, to come back and help him, perhaps. And Paul is not known for asking for help, because he's like boy genius sort of thing. So, whatever. So, as you can guess, shit hits the fan, the time travel experiment goes catastrophically wrong, and, well, time is breaking down, and in this reality, just kind of go with me, time is a thing. Time can literally be broken, stuttered, fractured, entering something called zero state, which will pretty much end reality as we know it. And you can all do this on Earth. Wonderful, eh? But this game isn't worried about the larger cosmic implications of this, but I watch too much science crap. But anyway, so what follows is anywhere between a 6 to 10 hour game, depending on the difficulty that you're doing, your first playthrough, and then subsequent playthroughs, which you do have to go through this game, like I said, about 2.5 times to get all the collectibles and to see everything there is to see possibly in this game. Now, there are junction points in the game where you'll make decisions that will affect the show, and that will affect what characters live, die, and what sort of things happen. And I will say this, those decisions, they matter, but not as much as you would think, like, say, Mass Effect or The Walking Dead. They're not huge. Mind you, some of the decisions, like I said, do involve who lives and who dies. One thing I found out through my 2.5 playthroughs, you can do a mix of Paragon and Renegade options, so to speak, and it doesn't really change the outcome, really. You're all going to end up at roughly the same point. There'll be some dialogue changes here and there. I think to get the best story, honestly, a mix of Paragon and Renegade is probably the best, but I think the canonical one is probably the Paragon storyline. Though I could see how a mix would make a lot of sense as well. But I'll talk more about the show when I get towards the extras for this episode, because that's, I think that deserves some special attention as well. So you do get these powers, these time-based powers. You can basically freeze time in an area. You can shoot into that area and stack bullets. So basically, you'd throw a time bubble, you can fire a clip into it. When the effect wears off, all the bullets hit at once, and, well, as you can guess, boom. So, it's kind of a neat way to, like, stack damage. You can also dodge bullets like Neo. You can, like, use this thing called time vision to find certain things in the environment. You can create, like, a shield of time around you, which will deflect bullets, sort of thing. So, there's, like, half a dozen powers. You'll have them all unlocked by about halfway through the game, if not a little bit sooner. You get your typical guns, like pistols, shotguns, machine guns, whatever. Though I was wishing for a rocket launcher or like a grenade launcher. That would have been nice at some point, but anyway. Gunplay's fairly simple. The enemies aren't too hard at all, at least on normal difficulty. I did find them like a bit of a walk in the park. There were a few sections that like screwed me over, just because the checkpoint system in this game is a little bit weird. There are no boss battles to speak of, except, like, the last one. And it's more annoying than hard. Once you figure it out, it's pretty easy to do it in subsequent kind of playthroughs. If I did have to give you a pro tip, max out your time dash and your time grenade. That will make your life infinitely easier, along with your time vision sort of thing. It extends the range on it. Let me see, what else can I mention about this? It's not a hard game. In fact, as of right now, I've got 100% completion for all the objects, all the video files, and the achievement list isn't out as of this recording, so I can't tell you how close I am to getting everything, but this one seems like it'd probably be a pretty simple game to get all the 1,000 gamer score for it when all is said and done. Let me see. I'm trying to think, what else can I really talk about the gameplay here? They do mention, there are these things called quantum ripples, and what they do, you might find something in the environment or trip something, and that just results in a small piece of dialogue changing during a cutscene, really. So it doesn't really affect the world as much as the decisions do in the show. Like, one of the first decisions you'll come across, and you've probably seen this in some of the trailers here, or at least in some of the coverage for the game, there's a fight at this university, and you have to decide to take the hardline approach or the PR approach. Hardline means kill everybody, leave no witnesses, that'll turn the public against you. Or you can do the PR approach, tell them, yeah, it was terrorists, you should help us out, and turn the city, quote-unquote, against Jack Joyce. And it kind of plays out like that. You don't really so much feel the effects. In fact, the game and the show feel very disconnected at times, though they do share a lot of the same characters. I mean, yeah, you do see Sean Ashmore and Littlefinger on there and some of the other people, but you really don't get, but you're really following another set of characters like Charlie, Fiona, Liam, Martin Hatch, stuff like that. And, well, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen more interaction with the main characters, but it is what it is. But it's still a pretty satisfying story, though. I would say in the end, I think if anything, it's worth playing through once for sure, twice if you want to see the whichever path you didn't take. There is Paragon and Renegade. There's definitely a clear path for each, though it doesn't really matter if you mix them up. Like, for example, yesterday on my 2.5 playthroughs, I replayed Vital Sections where I went, okay, I'll go Paragon, Renegade, Renegade, Paragon, whatever. And only one email changed. So I literally have 100% across everything. So I'm thinking, huh, well, that's weird. So I don't know, maybe there's more to discover if you go Paragon, Paragon, Renegade, or Renegade, 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 Paragon. Who knows? But still. All right, so let's move on to the graphics for this game. This is a very nice-looking Xbox One game, especially when it comes to the digital performances for Sean Ashmore and Littlefinger. You really get the nuances of the performance through the actual in-game engine, which I think was developed specifically for this. Environments look really cool. There are some really neat environmental effects, like you, like if there's an explosion and there's one of those time stutters, you'll see stuff hanging in the air. It could be garbage, it could be bullet casings. It's just the little details I think that are kind of neat. Or you'll see there's one part where this train crashes through a building and it just keeps looping over and over and over again. And it looks really cool. You've probably seen in some of the trailers or some of the coverage of this game, there's a huge scene where this collapsing ship comes here. And there is another scene like that later on in the game. And it does look cool, though. I will say the game is very, very, very nice looking. The character models look great. I did notice a couple creepy Sean Ashmore moments when I was in, like, elevators or when things kind of slowed down. I could take a look at things, though. But I'd say 9 times out of 10, the game looks great. The actual show itself, the actual Quantum Break TV show, quote-unquote, looks nice. It's basically what it breaks down to. They're 22-minute cutscenes, which you can influence to a certain degree. And it looks like any TV show you'd see on TV. It looks cool. I mean, some of the production value, I was actually really, 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 really surprised, especially when it came down to some of the fight choreography and some of the actual gunfights in it. So that was kind of nice. That was actually surprising. But if you're going into this expecting, say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., not really. But it does look nice for what they had a chance to put into it. Although there's only 4 episodes, I think a 5th episode to wrap everything up would have been nice. And that's something that I did notice was actually absent from this game. Okay, so sound. Soundtrack for this game is actually really nice. There's a nice original score which rises and syncs with whatever you're doing. And there's a licensed music soundtrack to it as well, One of the things I actually did kind of notice, there's actually an option in a menu where you can turn off licensed music. I guess that's so you can stream this game over Twitch, or if you want to put the game up on YouTube. I guess this is so you don't get in shit. Performances, though. Everybody does a really, really, really good job. Now, let me go back to the point I made in the beginning about Jack Joyce and Paul Sereen. Have you ever had that one friend where you just call them their entire name? Like, for example, my name. Very few people call me Mike. It's always Mike Dodd. And that's what everybody calls Jack Joyce, Paul Sereen. Everybody says their name. It's not just Jack or Paul. 9 times out of 10, it's Jack Joyce, Paul Sereen. It'll drive you right up the friggin' wall. It's so irritating. But that's a minor nitpick at best. That's like a scripting issue. And the actors do what they're told. Guns sound really cool. Your time powers sound neat. One of the little things, if people get caught in a time stutter, their dialogue will change. They'll like slow down. It'll appear long and stretched out. So that's actually kind of neat. And they actually do give you an in-universe reason why radios don't work in time stutters, which I actually thought that was actually really, really, really cool. They actually thought about that. There are actually shutter-proof phone lines and hard lines that people can call into should a time accident happen. And the story is delivered pretty well. There aren't any really cheesy moments, though some of these actors you'll recognize from shows like Lost, NCIS. I think like half of The Wire is in here. One of the characters I think really stands out in terms of performance is a guy named Charlie. I think he was from like True Blood or something. And obviously, like I said, Sean Ashmore and Littlefinger give great performances all around. Some of the performances do seem a little hokey at times, but never, you're not going to look at this game and say, oh man, this sucks. But it almost takes you out of it at times. Like almost the guys playing this maybe a little too intense. But it's still, it is what it is. I like what they're going for. I think this actually has a lot of potential in maybe a different venue. But let's actually get to that. So let's talk about the multiplayer slash extras. There is no multiplayer, thank Christ for that. Extras. Okay. So this game wants to do a lot of ambitious thing. It wants to be a multimedia project. This obviously is supposed to be a big franchise for Microsoft. There isn't a whole lot coming out in the month of April here that it's got in terms of competition. Now, there used to be Uncharted 4, and sadly, I'm pretty sure this game will get its ass kicked by that. But in terms of what this game gives to the Microsoft consoles and the Microsoft family of operating systems, it's a fun game. It really is. It's worth playing through once for sure. And I think if you own an Xbox One, I think it's definitely worth owning in your library. Now, is the game a system seller? No. Like, I'm not saying drop your shit right now, go down the Best Buy and grab an Xbox One and play Quantum Break. But if you have an Xbox One or a Windows 10 machine, play it. I can see what Microsoft wanted to do and how much money they wanted to throw at this. And I think it's really, really, really ambitious. And I kind of wonder what maybe got left on the cutting room floor. When you go through this game, like maybe, was there maybe a boss fight left out here? Is there something a little bit more? Because there is an option. Like, in the game, when you watch the show, you can stream it. Or you can download the whole, like, 75 gigs worth if you really, really, really want to. There's an option for downloads, and there is no Seasons Pass or anything with this game. So I don't know what else the game could offer you in terms of download. Maybe alternate costumes, maybe different guns. I don't know. Now, going through this game, like I mentioned, it will take you 2.5 times to get everything, because certain decisions you make from the show will affect what collectibles pop up. So you can't do a purely Renegade run and get everything. You can't do a purely Paragon run and get everything. You have to do both. And yesterday, as an experiment, I decided to do, okay, I'll do Paragon Renegade, Paragon Renegade. Just try to mix things up to see if I got anything different. And I did get a new collectible. So maybe there's some room for experimentation in there, but I'm pretty sure I got the achievement for get everything. So, like I said, I think this game is worth it. I have watched some other reviews on it. And that's me. I wouldn't say it's changed my mind, but it's maybe it's let me reevaluate what I've said. And I do still stand by what I said on AM640 and here. It's a good game. I think it's fun. I think it's worth playing through at least once. And if this is the beginning of a franchise, I could see where maybe things could do really, really great down the road. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens with Quantum Break 2, because when you finish this game, you know there's going to be a sequel. In fact, the entire game is told, the story's already happened, so clearly you save time. That's not a spoiler, you can figure that out. But I don't know where it goes next and to why. In fact, okay, there's one thing that's hinted at during the game about a specific type of enemy you should fight, and you never do. Like, I'm really wondering if that got left on the cutting room floor. So, I don't know. I kind of wish my decisions had a little bit more weight, like Mass Effect, like The Walking Dead. I guess I want drastic changes as opposed to just, here's some new dialogue, here's a scene playing out slightly differently. Although, one of the decisions where you do have a character die, you do have that character replaced by someone who serves a remarkably similar role, and that character is almost more entertaining, though not as pretty to look at, so to speak, but whatever. So that's my review of Quantum Break on the Xbox One and Windows 10. You should check this game out if you own an Xbox One or have the ability to play this on Windows 10. So next time on Rad, I'm actually going to be digging into The Division now that they're going to be putting some more endgame content into it, so that's probably going to be my goal for the next little bit. Get into that, and if you're hearing this, since it's Saturday, I'll have a brief little review of Hyrule Warriors on the Nintendo 3DS. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live free or die hard, and I'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ReviewADay.ca.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets?
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody!
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with GEICO.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it, GEICO could save you 15% or more on car insurance.